Women have been giving birth for centuries, so it's a pretty natural experience, right? Wrong. I'm Stephanie King, professional doula, childbirth educator, and the creator of the My Essential Birth course, the online childbirth education course that's helping women everywhere confidently achieve their best birth. Today's culture would have us think that birth should be treated like an illness or an emergency, and that most of us need other people telling us what's best for our bodies because we aren't the experts. So sit tight, because if you're tuning into this podcast, you'll probably start to believe in your body, your intuition, and find yourself empowered and confident to do what it takes to have the birth of your dreams. If you like listening to me take you through these weekly topics step by step, then you're going to love the My Essential Birth course. Make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast and definitely head over to myessentialbirth.com for the free downloads mentioned right here in these episodes and to join the birth course and community full of pregnant moms just like you. I have to add a disclaimer that I am not a medical professional and I cannot provide medical advice. All of the information expressed in this podcast are based off of personal, professional, and educational experiences and are my own opinions. Please work with a provider you trust for medical advice during your pregnancy and birth. Welcome back, you guys. This week's reviewer of the week is Kylie DeLulo, and I hope I said that correctly, but she says, best birthing preparation podcast. This is hands down my favorite birthing podcast. I'm a first-time mama who just gave birth to a 9-pound, 4-ounce little boy at a birthing center. Way to go, Kylie. My birth was absolutely perfect and amazing in every way, thanks to all of my preparation and this podcast. I knew I always wanted an unmedicated birth, but this podcast gave me the tools and knowledge to have the birth of my dreams. I cannot say enough good things about this podcast and recommend it to all my friends who are pregnant. Thank you for sharing your passion and for empowering women. Thank you, Kylie. This is so awesome. And it's my favorite thing to hear that you guys are taking the time to share the podcast, because that's the goal. Get this to as many women as possible. My other favorite part of that is being able to birth what would be considered a big baby, and 9 pounds is a big baby, at a birthing center without an induction, completely unmedicated. That's awesome. Congratulations, Kylie, to you, your birth partner, your family, that sweet little baby. Super happy for you guys. I love that intro too, because that reviewer of the week is kind of like a teaser. Yeah. for having this amazing birth story episode that we are about to have. Sally is super sweet. She's here with me. I'm going to have her introduce herself in a moment. But she is back with me again because we had done an entire podcast episode together and the file got corrupted. So she said, awesome, because I remembered all these details I left out. So now you guys are going to get the better story, the like improved version of Sally's birth story. So without further ado, Sally, will you take a moment and introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about you and your husband and baby and all of that.
Yes, I would love to. Thank you for having me on today. So we live in just north of Indianapolis in a town called Westfield, and we have one baby girl who we'll be talking about her birth today. Her name is Billy, and she's 8 months old. She was born last September, and we have a Bernedoodle, Freddie Mercury, who we love. Also, he was our first baby, and Griffin loves to do CrossFit. I'm still kind of in the recovery phases, working through some healing, but we love to do CrossFit, and Griffin just finished the mini marathon. We love sparkling water. We're addicted to it. And we're Christians, and we love to be involved with our church family, and we have a Bible study at our house, and I would say we just love to be outside. That probably sums us up, sparkling water, working out, church, and being outside.
That sounds about right. I'm coming to visit you.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about your pregnancy. Let's just dive in. Tell me about your pregnancy, how it went, when you found out you were pregnant, what that was like, how all of that kind of played out. Tell me about that.
Yes. So my husband and I were not planning on having a baby. We were doing natural family planning, NFP, I think it's called. And on around Christmas of 2020, the worst year ever, we were finally ending out the year, and I remember trying to decide if we could do it that night. Oh my gosh, we're getting TMI. And I said, I think we're fine, and I was supposed to start my period in like 2 days, and 9 months later, we had a baby. And so when we found out we were pregnant, we were overjoyed and excited, a little confused by the whole, like, how the timing worked out and my period and whatnot. But my period never came, but the baby did. And so we were a little nervous because I'm a wedding photographer, and we had 33 weddings booked in 2021 while I was pregnant. And I was able to do 25 while I was pregnant up until the day before we went into labor. And so I would say that's probably the most unique thing about my pregnancy is how much I continued to work and be on my feet. But if you tell me I can't do something, it just makes me want to do it more. So that's probably why I did
that. And I have to imagine that was really good for you. So, and you said you had done CrossFit prior. So it's not like you were, you know, a couch potato before anyways.
Exactly. So, right. And so a lot of people, you know how they say don't do more exercise than your body is used to. Well, I'm like, I'm used to doing this. So I'm just going to keep doing it. And a lot of people look at it as like my hobby, but it's my income. And I wasn't willing to just give it all up because I was pregnant. So I just went for it and it went fine.
Yeah, I love it. So did you have like support or any? Like, did your husband come with you to do these?
Yeah, so a lot of them were out of state. So he was not okay with me going by myself. So he was super awesome the whole process from the beginning to the end. He went to every single one but one with me. There was a local one that I said, I think I can do this around 5 months in. And he said, okay, I'm right here if you need me. But luckily I never went into labor or had too many contractions. Towards the end, I had contractions at weddings, which that kind of made the day exciting. But when you go to this many weddings, you need something to keep it exciting. And so I would be like, I'm having a contraction, don't know what this means. But anyways, so that's probably the most unique thing about my pregnancy. I had the morning sickness, but a lot of people have that. And we were traveling probably out of state almost every weekend for most of my pregnancy. So that was fun.
Oh my goodness. You're a go-getter. Yeah. I love it.
Thank you. Hey. I know you are too. I know you are too from listening to the podcast.
I try sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes. Now Miss I'm like, I think runner. I would like to switch to couch potato just for a little bit.
Yeah, but.
Actually, I kind of have done that.
Didn't you run a marathon?
I did. That's actually amazing. My best friend and I ran a marathon in 2020 and we, because they all got canceled, we did it on our own and had our husbands hop
us, awesome. You know,
bunny hop us. But anyways, I really messed up not my ACL. There's another, it's not my ACL. I don't even know why I said that. I pulled something. It was like mile 20, mile 18, something like that. And it stopped me in my tracks. So we like walked for a mile.
Yeah.
So it put us at like, I think it was like over 6 hours of completion or 5.5 hours of completion.
That's amazing.
It was
though.
Awful. It was awful. But I know I was like, but we're doing it.
Yeah,
we're
but you did it.
But now I have to do it again.
I love you're doing it again.
No, but I should. I eventually. Need to. Yeah.
Well, regardless, I loved your comparison of birth to a marathon because I've ran so many marathons. So for me to put that into context of having an unmedicated birth is kind of like running a marathon. It's crazy, but we do it anyways because it's awesome and it has benefits, but there are people who aren't willing to do it kind of thing. That put things into perspective for me when I listened to that podcast you did.
So tell me a little bit about how those two relate for you, the marathon and the birth. Was it as you thought it was going to be? Was it as I described?
Yes, just like running a marathon. I haven't ran a marathon. I've done too many marathons. So I don't want to credit myself to more than what I did, for sure, because you know there's a big difference. But I will say that laboring unmedicated is kind of, or even preparing for it was a lot like preparing for the minis that I ran. A lot of people telling you you're crazy kind of feeling, and then you feeling like, am I crazy if I haven't done this yet? But then once it's all said and done, well, I guess I should say in the midst of it, it's very difficult and hard. But then at the end, the joy and the celebration involved and like feeling like you overcame something that you didn't think you could ever do was a lot like a mini marathon. So I would say like in the prep and in the middle and after is so much like doing anything that's physically enduring and anything that you're told that you probably can't accomplish.
That's awesome. Okay, talk to me a little bit about your providers. What kind of provider did you choose to have? Where did you choose to give birth? Give me a little background there.
So when we found out we were pregnant, I didn't have a provider intending to go to all along. So we just looked up who was covered under our insurance. I was kind of going into things blind. I hadn't really started listening to the podcast yet, and I hadn't decided that I wanted to have a natural unmedicated birth. So we went to a lady, she was wonderful, an OBGYN. I shouldn't call her a lady. And
female OBGYN. I got it.
Yes.
You're good.
An educated woman. And she was so wonderful, so sweet. However, I wouldn't say she was someone who advocated for a lot of the things that you guys advocate on your podcast. I think she was following a lot of hospital protocols and what you might call normal births. So that wasn't really a problem until the end when I was so sure that I had a birth plan and I had goals. She was very supportive. However, like I said, I don't think she was like promoting me doing it the way that I was wanting to go into doing it. And when I say the way, I mean naturally. And however, afterwards, when I had my 6 to 8 week checkup, she said, wow, I'm so impressed that you were able to accomplish that goal. So that made me feel good. It was like I needed her approval because it seemed like she didn't believe in me at first. But other than that, she was wonderful and very supportive.
Awesome. So you gave birth at a hospital.
Yes.
And how was the hospital? Like, did you take a tour and do all of that stuff? Was it pretty friendly for you?
Well, because of COVID, they wouldn't allow tours. So that made me really anxious because I told my husband Griffin that going into anything, I kind of want to feel comfortable. And when you go to any new place, it feels kind of weird, let alone the place you're going to birth your child at. So I got really nervous about not being able to go in there and see it. And the video tour thing that they had on their website was awful. So like it had goldfish in it, like they in stained glass windows. And I was like, oh no, where are we giving birth at? And the birth center in our town was amazing. And I wanted to go there, but it was going to cost like $8,000 because our insurance didn't cover it. So that was our only birth center option. And we lived in a really tiny apartment. So Griffin was not on board with a home birth, especially for other reasons like it being our first birth. But we loved the nurses. I really believe that labor and delivery nurses are angels. I've heard that said before, but now I can relate and I believe it. And I was very blessed that I had great nurses while I was there. And everyone treated me so well while I was there. And I kind of felt spoiled. My mom told me with all four of her kids, she never wanted to leave the hospital.
Wow, that's really neat.
Everyone spoiled her so much. And so when I was done at the hospital, I remember saying, Mom, you know, I wanted to leave so I could get home. But to be honest, I appreciated all of the meals and the care and the, but I wanted to get home and just be in my own space and not sitting on the uncomfortable bed and whatnot. But in the future, I would like to do a home birth.
So do you think that's where you're headed for your next baby?
Yes, I do. Yeah, oh, but we're not so pregnant. Exciting. You know, we can't be for sure where we'll live because right now we're in an apartment and we'll just see what the options are when the time comes.
I love it.
Yeah.
Talk to me about, you mentioned your husband and he was, you know, maybe a little nervous for the birth center and stuff. So it sounds like at some point you guys had discussions about your pregnancy, your birth, what the plans were.
Yeah.
I'm curious if you want to let me know about when you were at, like how many weeks or so, how many months or so, even trimester that you were in your pregnancy when you started listening to the podcast, when you joined the birth course, and when your husband, if he was, kind of jumped on board with things.
Yeah. So, well, I would say I started listening to the birth podcast. I don't know if you like to call it My Essential Birth Podcast or Pregnancy and Birth Made Easy.
It's Pregnancy and Birth Made Easy. I don't know. It's a whole SEO thing, right? Like, what are people searching for? That's why it's called that.
I don't know. I can remember sitting, though, at my counter and typing in birth because I'm one of those people that I don't have a lot of favorite podcasts, but my husband loves podcasts. And so I just typed birth and your guys' came up, and thank God that it did because I listened to every single episode. And some I favorited it and listened to them over and over throughout my pregnancy. And then I would favorite ones and send them to him. So I would say that that's how it all got started with him being involved, because I started sending podcasts to him that where I was learning a lot. And I thought, hey, you could relate to this. And I think you should listen to this. And we are high school sweethearts. So we are like two peas in a pod, and he would just do anything for me. And I'm so grateful that he didn't even hesitate to listen to podcasts that you guys had recorded. And, he even read a book called Husband Coached Childbirth, which isn't what it sounds. That sounds like husband delivers baby unassisted at home, but it was really more so like how to be a husband doula.
Right.
And at the hospital. And he promotes that book to expecting dads now because he said he learned a lot. And we both agree that him being prepared going into birth changed everything. Like, I didn't feel alone ever because he was always there for me. And it was almost as if, although he couldn't feel it, he knew what was going on. And for him to be able to answer questions to the nurses without me talking, that was awesome. I loved it. I feel bad for any woman who their husband is not involved because I don't know what I would have done without his help.
Yeah, the support is huge.
Yeah, and then we just got crazier and crazier when it came to preparation because you emphasize, you know, so much in the birth course and in the podcast how much that helps. So we would do the ice pack rehearsals.
Okay.
And I don't know if anyone listening doesn't know what that means. It's where you hold an ice pack to mimic a contraction for a minute and then you release it and try to breathe through that. And I had no idea how cold an ice pack would be on my sensitive pregnant stomach. And it was really cold. And I thought, man, I need to get through this stuff because birth is going to be a lot more intense, I'm sure, than an ice pack. And so I'm glad we did things like that. That was a really practical exercise. And then I worked on the breathing exercises. I wouldn't say my husband and I like rehearsed birth as much as you guys told us to, but we were also like crazy people that summer doing weddings and
sure.
traveling and going to all of our appointments. And I was seeing a chiropractor every week. And I don't know if we had as much time to do anything more than the birth course, the podcasts, and the book he was reading and the book I was reading.
Yeah. Were there things that you were doing daily? Like, we've got those three daily exercises. Mm-hmm. Were there things that you were doing daily
definitely.
That were helpful for preparation for your body?
Yes, definitely. So I actually started listening to a birth podcast that a friend sent me. I meant a playlist. But I started listening to a birth playlist that my friend had made, and she's also a believer, so a lot of the songs were faith-based and a lot of worship music on there. And I kind of altered it to the songs I liked the most. And I would listen to that podcast and kind of, because I couldn't go to the hospital, pretend like I was there. Mm-hmm. I didn't even end up really listening to the playlist at the hospital. So it's kind of funny that I'm saying that. But just to get yourself in the mindset helps. And then I would do the breathing exercise. I can't remember exactly the directions that the birth course would say, but I do remember breathing in for 7 seconds and then out for 7 seconds. And I would do that all day because I thought breathing was like at the top of everything. I thought if I can breathe well, I can do this. Like if everything else I don't prepare well enough for, if I can breathe well, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if I can't breathe through this, you know, everything else is going to go out the window.
Well, I love it. And you're right about that. And that kind of goes along with that marathon training or CrossFit or like mm-hmm. the exercise physical part of things.
Yeah.
Because 100%. And that's why I emphasize things yes. like, okay, if you're not doing those kind of things, focus on things like yoga, or you're talking about yeah. deep breathing, or, you know, when you're yes. imagining a contraction, breathe in through mm-hmm. your nose and imagine your belly expanding all the way yes. out and then breathe it out. So I love that you're talking about that because that's very yes. practical, useful, really good mm-hmm. tips and tool for moms that are listening. Breathwork is everything. And yes. two, when you have a contraction that's super intense, if you're not used to or prepared for, or in your head, mm-hmm. you're already imagining doing that breathing, a lot mm-hmm. of moms can get stopped up where they're like, they're not breathing
yes.
or they're that's like right. this panted, like, you know, it's yes. like intense breathing. Mm-hmm. And that really good deep breathing is where you're going to get good oxygen for mom, good oxygen for baby. Mm-hmm. It'll give you something to focus on, that mental work.
Yes.
So 100% agree with
and
that.
And even my pelvic floor therapist is walking yes. me through breathing exercises now. I definitely wouldn't say this to her, but I'm like, I got this. I can breathe well. I'm just kidding.
No, but I love
that. That's helped a lot with my healing process now, is learning to breathe in and out slowly and deeply.
And where that breath comes from, right? Because when you're talking pelvic floor,
yes.
like we
yes.
breathe in and what happens? Like what happens uh-huh. to your pelvic floor? And when you breathe out, what happens to your pelvic floor? So
mm-hmm.
that, I mean, it matters, especially when you're talking about pushing
yes.
And utilizing
yes.
all those muscles during labor. So I love
absolutely.
That. Sounds like you have a very supportive husband. You guys did the work.
Yeah.
You put in the time. You had those daily things that you're doing, the three free exercises. Mm-hmm. Guys, that's always, I'll put it in the podcast notes, but that's always available for free. You can start that now. I mean, before a podcast, before, well, I guess if you're here, you're listening. And that's where you found mm-hmm. it. But before you get really knowledgeable about things, before you take the birth course, like this is just stuff you can do all mm-hmm. day, every day, pass it around. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Jump me into the birth. Talk to me from that first contraction all the way through. I want to hear it.
So we were actually in Indiana for a wedding at my parents' house because the wedding was near where my parents live and we grew up. And I woke up in bed and it felt like I had kind of peed myself, but pee is normally not like sticky and clear, and I won't go too far into that, but I thought, this isn't like wetting the bed. So I got up mm-hmm. but it wasn't a lot like a movie where your water would break in a movie and it would be everywhere, which it is for some people, I know.
Yeah.
So I went to the bathroom and it looked like my mucus plug had passed, and it looked exactly what you would see on Google if you looked up mucus plug, if you're so weird that you would look up mucus plug on Google Images. I looked it up for my husband and I showed him the picture on my phone, and I showed him the mucus plug, and we were like, oh my gosh, this is happening. And so we tried to calm ourselves down because we were out of state still. We were 38 and 2, I think. And I said, let's go on ahead and go to church with our families. Let's not say anything. I'm sure a lot of people listening are like, What?
Why would
you
do
went
that?
To church? Okay, so anyways, we went to church, acted as normal because just like you say on the podcast in the birth course, just relax. Like getting all excited isn't going to help. So we didn't get too eager and excited because I wanted to let my body do its thing. So that was an interesting church service. I don't know if I listened to anything. And so then I remember, I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent, but my dad's dad passed away the 3 or 4 days before Billy was born. So it had just happened 2 days before my water started leaking. And he was the grandpa that was my neighbor my whole life and the farmer on our farm. And so it was a really hard week. And part of me wonders if that is what maybe set off my labor. Hmm. I don't know. Like, we'll never know. And that might be one of my questions for Jesus when I get to heaven. I always wonder if that had anything to do with it. And so we went on ahead to church and I actually said, hey, babe, can I ride with my dad to church? It was just my daddy and I. And I said, daddy, I think I'm going to have a baby tomorrow. And he wasn't even looking at the road. He was driving his huge truck and he looked at me and he said, don't tell me that while I'm driving. And he said, do we need to go to the hospital and whatever? And I said, nope, let's just continue as normal. Like it's just leaking. I don't want to rush anything because I didn't want to be put on a time clock at the hospital. So we drove back to Milwaukee, which is a 5-hour drive. We got home on Sunday night. And on Monday afternoon, I had had contractions pretty regularly, but then they stopped. So we went on to our small group and someone in our Bible study small group had had a baby and they said, why are you here if your water is leaking? And I said, because I don't want to be on a time clock. Like, I don't want to go to the hospital and be induced just because my water is barely leaking. And I wasn't even sure if it was my water leaking. So anyways, then I called my labor and delivery nurse friend, Allie, and she said, I think you need to go because your birth story and your birth plan is not worth losing a baby through an infection. So we went at 11 o'clock at night, which I don't recommend. That's my one thing I would change about our birth. And we got the amniotic fluid test back and it was positive. And she said to me, you're having this baby in the next 24 hours. You're having this baby based off of when you told me your water started leaking, which I lied about because I didn't want them to take it out right away, take her out through a C-section. And so I wasn't having regular contractions. So they gave me Cytotec. And then an hour later, everything started and I had a pretty textbook natural birth.
Hey, walk me through some of those contractions.
Okay. So my husband went home to get the pillows when we knew it was serious. Like we packed the actual bags, but we didn't bring everything. And I said, babe, if we're going to do this tonight, I need the pillows. So he left. And I remember laying in the hospital bed, starting to feel cramps, and never again in my life will I probably feel the same way about cramps again. But of course I wanted to have her naturally. So once I got the Cytotec and I started to feel cramps, I was like, yes, thank you, Lord, for these cramps. And I knew that you had said they would feel like period cramps. So I figured that, you know, things were starting to move along and, contractions picked up and I think I was only very little effacement and maybe 1 centimeter dilated when I came in at 11 o'clock. So I was nervous that they were going to intervene and do things to get me open somehow. But my contractions picked up. I had a lot of back labor, which I wasn't expecting. I don't know why, but I associated that with older moms. Like, I'm not trying to criticize older women who have children. Not at all. But I just didn't think that would be me. I was like, I'm young and like, I won't have back labor. That's for people who are older. And I couldn't even move. Like going to the bathroom was hard. And I pictured myself doing all these cool things like squatting and using the Rebozo and like being on my elbows on the ground. And we were going to bring a yoga mat. And no, none of that happened. I could not move. My back hurt so bad. And anyways, we utilized the shower a lot. I wasn't at a water birth type of hospital. And so because my water had broken, they said I was not allowed to be in anything but just a shower. And I really enjoyed the shower part of my labor because my husband would run hot water. And then I shook a lot during birth, but the nurse told me that that was pretty normal for your hormones sometimes to do that. And that's kind of something I'm saying because I wish someone would have told me that. Hmm. And not that you guys left that out, but I just want to say that if you do start shaking during birth, like you're not dying or it's just a normal bodily response to the ups and downs of all the hormones in your body trying to do something it's probably never done. And I don't know. I just kind of hope that I don't have that in future births because it was really hard for me to control my own body because I called it like spazzing out. And I just kind of felt like I was having a panic attack. My body was having one, but not my mind.
Interesting.
Like it was yeah. shaking so much, and the nurse just kept saying, "You're okay. It's okay. Like this just happens." I wasn't cold. It was like what you would do if you were freezing.
Yeah.
You just shake, and so anyways, moving on. During my birth, my husband snuck me a lot of snacks. We prepped for that, and I'm so glad we did, because I could not have done that marathon. Just like you can't do a normal marathon mm-hmm. without snacks.
Right.
I couldn't have done it without those mini orange juices. I splurged, and I got the tiny bottles to hide them.
Cute.
And then I went to the grocery store in the protein bar aisle, and I picked out every single one. I didn't care what the prices were. I just picked the ones that looked good. And my husband fed me little bites every time the nurse would leave the room. And I praise God for all of those snacks and my husband, because I don't think I could have made it without all of those. So do not listen to the... Yes, don't listen to those crazy people who tell you not to eat. They're just saying that because they have to.
Yeah.
They probably don't even care. Most of the nurses, I'm sure, probably wouldn't have even cared, but I'm really grateful for that. And then I don't know if this applies to the question you asked me, but I'm sitting here drinking from this water bottle with a spout. And I don't know if I learned it from the podcast or the birth course or something I watched on YouTube, but someone told me to get a water bottle for birth that you can drink when you're laying down. And
yes.
I still use it to this day. But during birth, I remember my husband and I saying, "Aren't you glad we bought this?" Because I was guzzling water, because I've heard the contractions are a little bit more manageable if you drink a lot,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So we use that a lot. And then we got one of those little stroller fans and attached it to the hospital bed.
Oh, genius.
The ones with the little spider arms.
That's awesome.
And I loved that, because all of the different things going on in my body, I would be cold 1 minute and then really hot. I felt like I was going through menopause, or what I would think menopause feels like.
Right.
I would just turn it on and then turn it off when I didn't need it anymore. And I was grateful for that. But towards the end of my labor, about 20 minutes before she was born, they checked me and they said, "You're 7 centimeters. And then they left the room to go get the mirror that I had requested. And I looked at my husband and I said, "There is a head in my vagina. Oh my gosh. I have never felt this way, obviously. But I know that I feel this way because she's coming out." And all of a sudden, she just started to come. And then 20 minutes later, she was born. It feels like I only pushed twice, but Griffin says I pushed for a couple minutes. But I'm grateful for such a short amount of pushing, because I know, like, my best friend pushed for 5 hours, I think.
Yeah.
So that was the pushing experience. And I had some internal and external second degree tears, which I'm not grateful for.
I bet.
They're my battle wounds, and I'm still working through all of that. And I also want to mention that if you have hemorrhoids after birth, like, you're not broken. That's just a part of some people's birth stories. And
yes.
I kind of wish that someone would have told me, like, you might have hemorrhoids and that's okay. Like, not, I thought only old people got hemorrhoids. That was such a poor, like, understanding of those, because they're just such an awkward, like, taboo topic. No one wants to talk about hemorrhoids.
Yeah.
So I've struggled with that ever since she was born. And that's what led me to go see the pelvic floor therapist. But while I was being stitched up, we got to hold her. And then another thing I'd love for moms who have never had babies to hear is that, like, you may not bond with your baby the moment you meet them. You might be in the midst of recovering from an intense physical event. And it's okay if you're not, like, smiling and getting your picture mm-hmm. taken the moment they hand them to you. And, like, if you need to, like, close your eyes and take a breath and recover for a second, you can, and it's okay. And you don't need to feel bad for the baby feeling like a foreign person on your chest.
Yeah.
Because you've never met them. And I think a movie makes you feel like when I meet my baby, it's going to be perfect and magical, and I'm not going to be in any pain, and I'm going to know them so well because I carried them for 9 months. So we're basically, you know, bonded in that way. But I don't know. And then I saw a Serena Williams quote where she said, like, "I didn't know my baby when I met them."
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it took a couple months, and I'm just now starting to, I wouldn't say just now, but it took probably 3 or 4 months for me to feel really close with her.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. But I know for a lot of moms, that is the case. Like, it's that mm-hmm. rush of oxytocin, and you put baby to your chest, and, like,
yeah.
everything in the world is right. And it's not mm-hmm. that way for everybody. And it's okay yes. to say that out loud. And I'll tell yes. you, especially with my first, that was very much the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was the cesarean part of it, maybe whatever. But I think part of it too was, like, this is my first baby. I just met you. I don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know mm-hmm. you. And I expected to just be like, I've carried you for 9 months. You are, you yes. know, of course. And we had to get to know each other. So I appreciate mm-hmm. you sharing that. It doesn't mean you're broken. It doesn't mean that you're not going to bond with that baby or have an incredible right. relationship with that child mm-hmm. their entire life. Yeah. So take a breath and take a moment for yourself. Thank you for sharing that. That's excellent.
Yeah.
You did share about, and I just wanted to touch on this for a moment. So something that your husband did for you that was really comfortable, it sounded like, mm-hmm. or more comfortable during your contractions was to do water on your back, probably hot water. Yes. Were there other things as you were working through your contractions and feeling the intensity of those? You talked about breathing, and now you've talked about water. Was it changing position? Were there other things that stand out to you that like this is really useful for moms to know?
Yes. So I learned on a YouTube video, and you guys may have mentioned it in a podcast as well, but I remember watching a YouTube video about squeezing a comb in one hand, like having the teeth against your palm. And I kind of thought that was dumb, but like it's so small, I just went ahead and packed it. And I remember squeezing the edge of the hospital bed and thinking, like, I should be squeezing the comb, not the hospital bed that's like round and not, you know, applying pressure to my hand. And so I said, babe, please get the comb. And he got it out. And for the rest of the birth, up until the very end, like, it has amniotic fluid dried on it still. We just put it with her, all of her like name tag and her hat and all of that, because it is like, you can tell it's went through birth too. And so I would squeeze that the whole time. And it sounds silly, but if you're listening to this and you're going to pack for the hospital or wherever you give birth, just pack it. Like, you might love it. So I'm definitely going to bring a comb to every labor. And then the other thing was the water bottle. Having a water bottle you can drink laying down is so helpful, because I guzzled. My husband said I drank so many of these, he couldn't believe how many bottles of water I drank laying down. So I'm grateful for that, because I would have had to sit up and change positions just to take a drink.
Yeah.
Then another thing was having my husband there with the fan, able to move it around. So that wireless stroller fan, which they're not even very expensive. So I think that's a great thing. Or maybe if you already have had a child, you have one from their stroller or something. So yeah, I would say those are the things my husband used besides the water in the shower.
Oh, I love it. Those are all really excellent tools and tips for moms that are listening. And yeah, the idea behind the comb, for those of you who are listening, I haven't talked about it in a while. The idea behind the comb is kind of that pain gate theory. You know, if you're having pain in this place and you distract it with pain in a different place, there's little receptors that go up to your brain, and what you're doing is confusing them. So it's the same reason that we tell moms change position every 30 minutes if you can, because you get comfortable in position and it gets more and more painful. Those receptors are like, okay, we know what we're doing. This is the pain. And then when you change positions, it kind of confuses those receptors, it jumbles them up. And so the idea, like with the comb, is very similar to that. You know, we've got this, the contractions that are happening, and you're feeling it in your abdomen down low in your cervix, but if you're holding onto that comb, you're like, oh, but what's this over here? You know, it's just confusing enough that it makes both of those areas more comfortable. So that's awesome. Yes. How was your postpartum? So you mentioned that you had some tearing and things, but maybe talk about like
tearing and things. Yeah, I love it. Tearing and things.
And things. But how did that go for you? Was it like a rough recovery? And then two, emotionally, what was it like looking back on your birth? Did you have a very positive experience? Were there some things that you're like, ooh, I really don't like that, or it makes me uncomfortable? Mm-hmm. Did you have to talk through or work through anything? What was your postpartum like? And probably like immediate postpartum, but you can add that into the length of what you've done now.
Yeah. So right after we had the baby, we were eager to get home because my grandpa's funeral was coming up in 3 days. And when I mean get home, I kind of mean both homes. I mean where we lived then in Milwaukee, and also home 5 hours away where the funeral would be, where we grew up. And so people thought we were crazy, but I was like, I'm not missing this funeral. I am not missing it. I don't care how far we have to drive. I'm going to be there. And I just remember having a prayer on my window. I like to write my prayers out with an erasable marker. And I think it said something along the lines of, Lord, your plan's better than mine. So don't just erase mine, because yours is going to be better. And I submit to your will, no matter what my birth looks like, no matter, my grandpa was given a diagnosis of a terminal cancer that would end around when Billy was born. So no matter how grandpa gets to heaven or when that happens, because obviously we were worried about them overlapping. No matter when that happens, Lord, I trust you with every single detail. And to see him work out every single thing perfectly was just a picture of how good he is, because I could have had Billy, you know, the day of his funeral, or I could have had Billy like at his funeral, or not been able to go because of something related to birth. But he's such a good God that he allowed me to have her. He protected me and allowed us to travel down to Indiana. And I really wasn't in as much pain as I had expected to be in. I had what my best friend calls achy vagina, which I'm sure every mom who's had a baby out of that hole can relate to.
Yep.
And then I think a lot of the pain was related to tearing. But if you've only had one baby, like, you only know what you feel. So, sure. But it wasn't unbearable. However, a lot of people at the funeral were like, why are you here? And I thought, why wouldn't I be here? Like, that was really hard emotionally. But back to the recovery and birth, there was a lot to process because I was going through having a baby and it was my first baby, and processing my birth story and her birth, and also processing losing my grandpa. And I think it's neat how in those moments of my grandpa dying the last few weeks of his life, I laid in his hospital bed with him, and I have so many pictures of his hands on my belly, and I would lay there for like 8 hours just praying that they could meet somehow. And although they didn't get to meet here on earth, I think it's neat how God sent her at just the right time. So I was recovering from more than most moms right after they give birth, in a sense. But then later on, after the funeral was over and all of that, I did pass some clots, which I wasn't expecting, on our way to the cemetery that day. And I remember calling a nurse friend and saying, like, do we need to get out of this line and go to the ER? And that was kind of scary because it was like the size of an egg. So if you're listening to this, like, you're not weird if an egg falls out of you. Yep. I said I felt like the Easter bunny, like I had just delivered an egg. So that happened, and the achy vagina kind of dissipated, and I healed in that regard. I'm getting really TMI, but I think that helps other moms.
Yes, it does.
But I think that I had this expectation that sex wouldn't hurt. 6 to 8 weeks later, like, I thought that everything would be back to normal. And that was really difficult. Obviously, I have a really supportive husband, so he wasn't like forcing anything on me. And I went to look into that with my OBGYN. And looking back, I wish I would have seen a pelvic floor therapist earlier. But when Billy was 5 months old, we moved states. We moved back to Indiana. And so I'd never looked into that. But with our next babies, I think I want to look into that sooner if I have the type of injuries that I had. And then that kind of started to figure itself out, and the scar tissue, I don't know, became less sensitive. I'm not sure what the right way to describe it would be. That healed, and then now I'm just struggling with the other hole, and this is about birth, not hemorrhoids, so I won't get into that. But I would just encourage any mom to, like, seek help for your issues. Like, don't feel like you are broken, or, like, birth has to end that way with permanent injuries. There are people out there to help you, so.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. In fact, pelvic floor therapist is someone we're going to have on here for the podcast as well, because I think it's such an underutilized profession that women need to know about, because I didn't know about it until way after I had my babies, you know, and that's not helpful. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's excellent. You mentioned a couple of things just spiritually. Is there anything you want to touch on there? Was there anything that happened, pregnancy, birth, or any space that you had an experience that you are open and willing or wanted to share?
Sure. When I was explaining birth to my mom 3 or 4 days after Billy was born, I told her that it was kind of what I would describe as a life high moment, like your wedding night or skydiving or running a mini marathon. It was exactly like all of those things. And I want for everyone to be able to experience that kind of intensity, and not only the intensity, but to overcome something that your body's doing on your own, not necessarily on your own, but with your husband. And what a neat bonding experience that was. So to be able to share another life high moment with my husband was unbelievable. And I remember when she was born, I told the nurses, I have the best husband in the world, because birth brought us so much closer than I ever expected. So if you love your husband and you're listening to this and you want to have a natural birth together, get ready to love your husband afterwards, if he's as involved as my husband was. And then the other thing that I wanted to share was, I was listening to a podcast while I was pregnant. It was actually a photographer, so probably not something that most people would be listening to. And she was a Christian, And I do want to share what she said because I don't want to plagiarize. She also had an unmedicated natural birth. And she says, laboring unmedicated was by far the hardest thing I've ever done. I knew it was not going to be easy and nothing could have prepared me for just how intense it was going to be. But when Jesus described what the pain of separation from God was like, he could have chosen anything in the world to compare it to, but he chose childbirth, which is in Genesis 3. Yeah. And delivering a baby that way gave me a realistic picture of the pain that humans endure when they're separated from our Creator, but also the joy that comes through knowing God and hopefully reunited with Him someday. So the moment that Billy was laid on my chest, it was obviously I had to recover for a second and I didn't know her and there were foreign feelings, but it was a joy unlike anything other than I've ever experienced for myself as a woman. And I think it's so amazing that God gave us the opportunity to overcome something so intense. And what a neat thing that is for me, just for myself, like aside from Billy, even though we did it together, to be able to know that I can do hard things.
Yeah, I love this. Yeah.
Yes.
I will tell you too, just, and I'm a Christian woman myself, but it was the birth of my third child, actually, and having that unmedicated experience at home where I utilized prayer and some other tools, that was the closest I'd ever felt to my Savior. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is so cool. And I think, and not that you can't have that medicated or any other way. For me, there was something about going through the entire experience, feeling everything and working through that, that is just, it was super powerful. And truly, like marathon or half marathon, it was a very similar experience, that stretching and that relying on something greater than yourself. It is so powerful. And I love that, like, I can do hard things. It's so right on. Okay, we've been talking for a while. I don't want to stretch it out too long, but I like to end with, what is your very best advice? If you could give like one tip, one or two tip, tool, trick, whatever, to moms and or birth partners, what would that be?
My number one tip is that if you haven't pursued natural childbirth or the idea of it or learning about it or just being open to it, I wouldn't close that door just because of what you've heard or what you've seen in movies or what people have told you or even what your family says if you bring it up. I wouldn't close it off as like, oh, nope, can't do that. I'm not made for that, because you are made for that. And a caveat into my next advice is that you were made for that and you have control over that. So if that is something that you end up wanting to do, you have every right to try to do that. And you also have every right to control a lot of the details that surround birth. And you recorded a podcast about the illusion of no control. And that couldn't be more true.
Yeah.
It is an illusion, because people believe that nurses and doctors run the show and that you are just to lay there and deposit a baby however they decide that it should come out. And even though I have injuries and things that weren't necessarily positive from birth, looking back, I had a hand, and my husband and God obviously had a hand in every single detail. It was very little to do with what the nurses and doctors wanted. So don't believe that even for a second. Don't believe what the doctors and nurses say. Don't believe what your family says about natural birth, or any type of birth, really, or wherever you want to give birth. You have control over your birth story in such a big way.
100%. That's my big thing. I don't care how you do it, where you do it, who you do it with, but you get to decide. I want you to have the power to decide. So, and to feel confident in that. So, awesome.
Birth was such a positive experience for me, and it makes me wonder what it would be like to have let go of that control.
Yeah, totally. Well, thank you so much, Sally. Thank you for your energy and your light and being able to share this birth story with the world. I can't even tell you how much I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on. It was so fun to see your face and meet you after all that I've listened to you and seen you on the birth course.
That's it for this week, but make sure you subscribe to the podcast so that you get notifications first as I drop a new episode every week. And don't forget to head over to myessentialbirth.com for all of the free downloads mentioned here and to join the birth course and community serving pregnant moms just like you. If you enjoyed this and other episodes, I would love it if you would take a few minutes to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I read every single one and include one at the beginning of each episode. See you next week.